This week on The Droids, we're talking about the news coming out that Taika Waititi will direct a feature-length theatrical release of Star Wars. Leslie Headland is getting her own series, and Baby Yodas are starting to arrive stateside. How has that changed the lives of several droids? All that and more on The Droids.
No, no, not this one.
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. And we've had a lot of time together, The Droids, lately. We've been doing some live shows. We've been having some fun. And you know what? It feels nice to get back to maybe a little regular programming. We've done the Duel of Fates, our six-hour epic.
So where we left off, Rey and
yeah,
Kylo
I'm very
finally
excited.
Got in the same room.
Previously
very
on The Droids.
Very excited for part seven.
But we're back to a regular episode and excited to talk about some news because we've got some news in these quarantine times and some things to look forward to whenever this is all over. I think before we begin, though, I'd like to know how everyone's lives have changed with the introduction of their actual Baby Yoda in person.
So I don't know if it's, I can ascertain that it's compounded by the current world situation, but It was the amount of joy that it brought me upon arrival and yes. Then upon sitting on my desk looking at me is monumental.
Yes.
It's become a really big part of my life. It's actually, in all seriousness, it's a much better... Chris was talking about this privately, that it's a much better quality toy than I was expecting. And notably, I think they got the smile just right.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they really...
I'm looking at it right now.
It looks beautiful. And Ryan, please don't listen into my private conversations.
Chris said privately to his girlfriend that.
No, it is. That's the first thing that surprised me was like how high quality of a toy it is. I think it looks like it's like life size too, correct? Is that?
We don't know. As much as anything
really.
Fake can be life size.
All Star Wars characters could be giants, Chris.
The weirdest.
It looks about right to the scale on the show. I'd say maybe a tiny bit smaller.
Take it back. I think the weirdest thing is, so it has like the base of it is full of like beads, so it's like weighted, so it'll like sit up. But the weirdest thing is it has no feet.
It has no feet. So it's made to be swaddled. It has no feet. I also found that striking that they didn't even put like little fabric like floppies on it.
Yeah, no, it's just the his little robe is supposed to go down between his little feetsies.
Mattel was dedicated to canon. Exactly, we don't, I believe. And Mattel was dedicated to canon because maybe in season two we find out he has no feet.
Oh, that's funny. And he's
then all of us are sitting with toys that aren't. There's no verisimilitude.
He's
all floating. I like your version better, where they're just like, get it out the door. Don't put the feet on. We need to get these over.
My boss, I got the feet right here.
I think the eyes are really well done. Yeah. Of course, we're speaking like for the value. I don't think it was less than $30.
Exactly. Yeah, it's very high quality. The eyes are not just like black, painted black. There's actual like pupils in there too, which is pretty wild.
Oh.
A friend of mine asked me where I got it because she wanted to get one for her baby, like a stuffed one for
her
baby.
For
and
a
I was
child.
Like, well, mine is mine. You can't have mine.
I just don't know what you keep talking about, Ryan, that you also have one, because Baby Yoda's at my apartment. I don't know why you're saying there's other ones.
It's like the class pet. We just kind of like pass it around.
Yeah.
But little Yoda would never be a pet, would you?
Definitely a good May 4th, May 5th surprise, so thank you for getting that shipped.
It was a boost.
I'm still convinced that there's something inside of it. Like, there's going to be a surprise. Like, it's going to...
Like a soul?
Like, one day it's like eyes are going to light up or something in conjunction with the show. Like, I feel like there's...
Well, I'll be honest with you, Chris.
Yeah.
That would be scary.
Oh, it is. It is also terrifying if you don't expect to see it.
Did you... Mike and Sam, did you boys get one?
I did not. So when it came up...
Sad.
I wanted to order it, but I also just kind of thought, I was like, you know, I'm not sure how much I love The Mandalorian at that moment, because wasn't it, it was relatively, like, I liked the show. I thought the show was fantastic.
Yeah, it was right after episode 4, and you were like, maybe not.
Yeah, well, you know, if they make a Kana Valley choice, I'm not, I don't know. But I think it was, I was just not sure that they was going to come in and be the quality that you're talking about. I thought that they were like, oh, wow, we didn't know this was going to be such a viral sensation. We need to rush this into production. So I kind of was waiting for the one that looked fully plush, because I know the head is still kind of plastic, right? Or some sort of rubber.
Yeah, it's like you could, like, it's rubber. You could, like,
yeah,
you could, it's a lot, you know, it's bouncy.
I also thought that
it holds its shape. Not like a real baby who have those soft heads.
Well, speaking of real baby, I was thinking I would get a one that was fully plush for my real baby.
Smart.
And so I didn't want to get the rubber one. But then I also thought, I'm like, you know what? I really just want to get from Doc Ondar's and Galaxy's Edge. I want to get a Yoda from there because that'll be perfect. It won't be baby Yoda. And I thought, I'll do that when I go in May. And what happened at that point?
Well, we have tickets next week. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we'll be there.
There's also an
animatronic one coming out in December, which is music to my ears.
Oh, really?
You know, I've never had my own animatronic. Yeah, they put pre-orders up. It's like, that one's under $60, which is like a good amount of money. But for an animatronic, you think...
But you prefer... You know, I know you love animatronics, but you prefer that to compare to the Sideshow collectible, which is one-to-one scale. They got it one-to-one. And
it's the one-to-one.
Perfect is the way it looks exactly the same. It's not an animatronic, though.
I mean, I was speaking to a friend about this. Like, if I all of a sudden came into a lot of money, the first order of business would be, like, ordering like 15 Sideshow collectibles things.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just, they're so beautiful, and of course they're like top of the line, but it's, you know, they're so cost prohibitive, obviously.
Oh, it's $375, but don't worry. Wow. Monthly installments of $56.25.
I like that's not too bad when you think about it.
Yeah. Less than a cell phone.
I think right now is a good time to make a monthly commitment for the next 4 years.
Right? it looks spectacular.
They are so beautiful, but they are so cost prohibitive.
Wow, it does look...
It's like a level of collectorship that I'm not ready to like jump into.
Well, I think that's why you have to find the ones...
glass cases before you do that. You know?
Exactly. It's like, where do I display this? I'd have to change everything about my personality. It's just so hard.
The little detailing on that thing is amazing. I love that they've also... Sideshow is also... We're just talking about Sideshow now. It's also they know that people aren't, like, reposing a lot of their figures, so then they have, like, those, like, master statues that are just, like, pre-posed, and they look so good.
There's one... I was cruising around Sideshow Collectibles yesterday after I saw the Yoda, and there's one of Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy that it's, like, the face work is unbelievable. It's so real that it's, like, almost unsettling, to the point that I was looking at it thinking, like, if I looked at this for too long, would I become a toy? Is this, like, a monkey's paw thing where I look down and, like, I'm becoming plastic?
Yeah, exactly. It's an Are You Afraid of the Dark?
But, Ryan,
I
would say I feel like they have some pricing on some of these that are more reasonable, and they still look just as good. Like, I sent to Chris an R2 that I believe was, like, $160. And it was 1/6 scale, but it was so detailed that it was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
You sent this to Chris?
Well, this was back in the day before,
as a gift?
Before I realized who was actually carrying this podcast, and it was, you know, three of us and not Chris. And
before
I sent
the dark
him this,
you guys exchange
this
droid this year?
Gift.
Before the dark times.
Before the Ryan and Sam.
I must have picked the short straw for Secret Santa, because Sam just got me a Magic 8 Ball.
Do you want to do that one clean?
I mean, we didn't keep
it. Hold on. In 3, 2, 1, I sure picked the short straw for the Secret Santa, because Sam just got me a Magic 8 Ball.
Beautiful.
Great. Yeah, Mike, though, I thank you again for that.
I wasn't fishing for a thank you. I mean, well, I never got
one
before.
You're getting it. You're getting it.
Never got a thank you?
No. Chris never said a word.
I literally just texted him. I didn't know it was from him. So first off, it was just surprise
Chris
and delight.
Chris just said that was from you?
It was surprise and delight. But then for about a year,
I'm like a retailer.
I was like, what is this? What is this box? And I didn't even open the box. And I didn't even know what. I'm just kidding. No, it was very, very nice of you.
Chris
very sweet of you.
It was
you.
A gift for him as an influencer.
Lucasfilm, what? You didn't have to do that, George. It is one of my prized possessions. I have a little dedicated shelf space that he's going to go next to the remote control BB-8 that I'm planning. So,
I thought it was going to stop at remote control. I was like, wow. Jeez, Chris. How, going right next to my remote control.
It has The one accessory that I think is amazing with it is it has a little drink cart thing that you can put on top of it.
Which it has the one from Jabba's sail barge.
It is a prized possession.
So you got him the saddest of all the R2s.
we don't know if he was happy. He might have been happy.
But honestly, their 1/6 scale is priced, I wouldn't say reasonably, but much more reasonably than. And now I'm looking at him right now. I'm going to buy myself a 1/6 scale Luke from Last Jedi in his Octo.
It's all relative.
Dude,
it's
I was
like
looking
New York
at that.
City.
I had the Luke from Last Jedi Octo up for like the longest time, and then they also have his projected self.
Oh my god, they're so gorgeous.
If I'm going to buy a joke gift for anybody, I'm sending you all Wayfinder necklaces.
Hey guys, how's the episode going? Is it fun listening to us online, Sean?
Sam, as we were talking,
thinking about getting a surge protector.
If I was distracted, it's because I was sending my brother the life-size Yoda figure saying, you should buy this. You should really buy this.
Sam, we didn't get your thoughts on a purchase of Baby Yoda. On why you
didn't
did not
buy one, probably won't. I don't know. I don't really want one.
Wow. After this, the way that Chris and Ryan sold it to you,
it changed their lives. I don't really want one. Literally, I think I'm all right. Maybe I'll do a painting of Baby Yoda or something. He's very cute. I love Baby Yoda. I'll tell you what. I'm in the same boat as you guys, where it's like, you know, this is just a little bit too much money to pull the trigger on, especially right now with, you know, there's just a lot going on, and I think everybody's feeling a little unsettled and, you know, not as secure as maybe they did a few months ago in their income. So I probably won't be buying anything, but I think if I were going to, I would, from the show, I'd probably just want the Mando like figure, because I think that I just love the iconography of the Mandalorian. And then, but of all the things Star Wars that I don't even think they have it anymore, but there was like one of the statue maquettes of, it was called Mythos Obi-Wan, and it was an Obi-Wan on Tatooine from like, you know, this was before they announced an Obi-Wan series, so it was from, you know, the years between the prequels and A New Hope, some people call
it
Star Wars.
I'm looking at it right now.
And the Mythos maquette specifically had like the coolest design, the best like windblown hair, and it looked like a perfect mix of Ewan and Alec Guinness. And I wanted it so bad, and it was really expensive, and that would be my holy grail of collectibles, probably, for Star Wars.
It's still there. Hey,
is it still available?
Sam really took the wind out of our Baby Yoda sales.
Yeah, our Baby Yoda.
Yeah, I don't really want one.
No, I don't want one.
You know what?
He's like the girl at the lunch table. It's like, why are we talking about this?
why are we talking about this?
This is random.
I think, random, guys.
I guess now that you point out the flaws of the Baby Yoda, mine, it's a 1-to-1 scale, the one I have, but it doesn't fit in my 2x scale Falcon, so... it's not even the same material. The Falcon's built out of Legos. Baby Yoda's built out of, I don't know, chalk
so
or
the,
something.
So the legend of the Lego Falcon is ballooned to 2x scale.
Yes.
It is twice the size of the one in the movie.
Yes, yes, exactly. Made out of Legos.
So you feel like a child when you're on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You have that.
He has to rent out 2 hangars at Teterboro just to put it in.
Yeah, yeah. I got a LOL working on it right now.
Yes.
Hey, your Falcon broke.
I had to bypass the converter.
Yeah, well, I had to bypass the converter.
Oh, that's like what I said.
I was just doing it in my
You were just perfecting it?
That was just...
Do you think
iteration,
sometimes, like,
friends.
Han would show up and he would say, Joe? You'd be like, Joe Hackett? But no, it's Han.
Yeah, he gets all mixed up.
They're the Skywalker siblings.
All right, well, we've talked about it. Get Baby Yoda if you were looking for one. I'm sure you can still find one out there or probably pre-order a new edition because they took so long to get here in the first place. But that's I'm the way Chris and Ryan have been talking about it, I actually think I might be now in the market for one. If it's under $30, why not?
I mean, the way Sam's talking about it, why are any of us doing anything?
So, news from around the Star Wars production side of things. And, of course, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, DroidsPod, DroidsPod@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube, DroidsPod, the Twitch channel as well. We're doing lives there also. And be sure to get a chance, write and rate and review us on iTunes and get one of those custom Sam paintings coming your way. We've got one for Little Gray Bunny. Little Gray Bunny also had some suggestions for us on what topics we might cover now that we're done with Duel of the Fates. So we might come back to that in a future episode. But let's start with the news. Taika Waititi will be directing a feature-length theatrical film. Got to say theatrical, because otherwise people would think it would be going streaming. And Leslie Headland from Russian Doll will be taking on a series. So that's the two big pieces of news. Let's start with Taika Waititi. I'm thrilled about this. I can't say there's been a film that he's done or a production he's been involved in that I haven't loved. I think there's some debate about whether or not, you know, his writing is as good as maybe some other writer-directors out there, but I feel like he balances the comedy and the motion so well. And The Mandalorian, the finale of season one of The Mandalorian, directed by him, I think was a great example of that. I don't know that I felt as emotional or laughed as much as I did in that episode between the early scene with the scout troopers and then IG-11. But then IG-11's sacrifice, I think, was maybe my most emotional part, other than when Baby Yoda was on the dirt in the prior episode after Queel was shot. So yeah. I'd say I think he really knows how to balance that. I love Jojo Rabbit. I love Hunt for the Wilder People, What We Do in the Shadows. I think his sense of humor can fit in very well with Star Wars. I think that, you know, to use a term from Top Chef, he might need to edit himself a little bit, because if those bits go a little bit too long and feel a little bit out, that might take you out of a Star Wars movie. But to be honest, I mean, he didn't overdo it in a movie that was about, you know, Nazi Germany. So I think he can balance it. I think he can make it work. I'm
also
excited.
Ragnarok, he kind of balanced that.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever laughed so hard in a movie theater as when Korg asks for clarification on, like, your hammer pulled you off.
Oh, my God.
That's, like, one of the funniest jokes I've ever seen delivered on screen. It just killed me.
So Mike, the
also, Reese Darby in Star Wars is what I'm waiting for.
The editing that you're talking about, I agree with you. So that opening scene of the last episode of The Mandalorian where the two stormtroopers are being very, like, bantery, while it's, like, enjoyable, it's this thing where I'm like, this has gone on too long.
Yeah,
it's kind
exactly.
of, like, breaking the world, whatever. But I think that that's, like, a half-hour show. I think that episode was probably, like, 40 minutes or something like that. But I think that when he has a bigger canvas, like in Thor Ragnarok, that he can kind of even that out by putting things like that throughout it, as opposed to this big chunk at the beginning that just kind of seems out of place.
Yeah.
I think that that will help with that kind of thing, because it is like, I love him as a director also. And like, even that moment, it's like moment to moment enjoyable. It's not, I don't have a problem with that scene. It's like very enjoyable, but if I'm looking at it from like a narrative standpoint, okay, it's a little much. But I think that him having an entire movie, and I think he's also a director that you can notably see his growth as his movies have gone on.
Yeah.
You know, I think that What We Do in the Shadows is just kind of hysterical, and Hunt for the Wilder People is like a very different kind of movie. Thor Ragnarok is a little shaggy, but I adore it. And then I think by Jojo Rabbit, he had like honed in on this, like, obviously it's different material, but that movie has this perfect balance of like comedy and like true emotion.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that it'll bring something. I'm hoping that Star Wars will come to meet him, as opposed to him coming to meet Star Wars. I think we've had enough of that kind of people trying to imitate originals.
Yeah, I think what I kind of see here is this is kind of the realized version of like when Marvel was trying to get like an Edgar Wright movie with Ant-Man. I feel like when that was happening, it was just like Edgar Wright had too much of his own style. Marvel was a little kind of, I guess, maybe a little afraid to kind of go towards that. And I think Taika Waititi has a similar kind of trajectory, like when in his movies, like there's kind of like a thing to them, like you can tell there's like kind of repeating themes and repeating types of characters and things like that. And I think this is like a realized version of that, where they were kind of like, okay, well, it worked with Thor Ragnarok, we let this guy kind of put his own spin on things. And I think for most intents and purposes, I think Thor Ragnarok is probably the most unique and creative of all the Marvel movies. And it worked wonderfully. Like it's such a fun, bizarre, weird thing, and I hope that he can bring that to Star Wars. I think he comes from also like a generation of like filmmakers and pop culture commentators that are like that, like Star Wars was kind of, they were kind of being born in a post Star Wars world. I don't know how old he is. I think he's what, probably like 40.
He's older than Star Wars for sure.
Oh, he is. But, oh,
like,
he is.
He was probably young when it came out.
Yeah, like And I think
he was born in 75. So you
Okay. So he's 2 years old. So like basically he was kind of coming of age in a time
he
when
is
Star,
Star Wars
when Star Wars had already existed. And I think there's like we haven't really seen a ton from that generation really like. In the sense
with the exception
that,
of
like,
Ryan, because Ryan,
yeah, I was gonna
well,
say,
Ryan
I was gonna
yeah,
say,
Ryan, JJ.
Ryan Johnson and Gareth Edwards, like they both had it, but I think now to kind of let this guy, like, who's a little more in, like, underground, I guess, I don't know, I guess Ryan Johnson though is pretty as independent as you get.
I think that Taika, speaking to what you're saying, Taika has this balance as like a creator where he cares deeply about the things that he's making. You can tell by like how they come out, but. He's also irreverent. Like he doesn't care.
I think that's what I was trying to get at. It's like he has this kind of like punk attitude towards filmmaking.
Yes.
That I don't.
Yeah, he's a little anarchic. It's like if I'm going to use the S word here, but it's like he cares deeply, but he also doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like I think that's this perfect balance for where they need to go forward with Star Wars, because it's like you need someone who cares deeply about the piece that they're making, but also is willing to throw away the things that they don't care about.
Yes, exactly.
And like kind of be a little punk rock with it, like you said.
Yes.
Well, I think the other thing to take into account is like the, you know, on the business side of it, because I think artistically everything you guys are saying is dead on, and I'm excited for I'm anticipating there will be a heavier weighting to the comedy than we've seen. Even, you know, I found The Last Jedi very funny at points. I think Rian Johnson's sense of humor is great. But, like, this will be, like, more humor than we've seen in a Star Wars before. And I think, why not? That sounds like a blast. That'll be really fun. Yeah. But
and
then,
weird. Like, his humor is weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah,
but,
it's weird.
But also, you have to remember, too, that, like, he, you know, Disney's perception of him is this guy who's, like, he's got a string of hits. He's a solid filmmaker. You know, he's growing. And he, like, fixed a franchise for them and made a ton of money that they've carried forward with. It's like once he cracked Thor, that was what then the Russos did with Thor on the biggest movies of all time, you know? And then and then they gave him another Thor follow-up because he's like, I got another story. I can do it. And so, you know, there is this perception of like this question that I'm sure is being asked at Disney and Lucasfilm of like, did we lose our way a little bit and where? You know, because we've got fans who hate The Last Jedi, we've got fans who hate The Rise of Skywalker. The Rise of Skywalker didn't do the box we wanted it to.
They made a sequel to The Last Jedi.
And it's it's getting like of kind things. Of lambasted on the internet right now in terms of like this just doesn't hang together. The sequels are unfortunately now for kind of everybody who's a fan a mixed bag, right? Mm-hmm. Like because nobody likes all three of them. And so I think
if
you're looking
like
at that
three of them,
and you're trying
like,
to say,
I don't want to admit anything
like what, you know, what do we do now? What do we do with this franchise that feels a little
let's
muddy,
it,
maybe not as strong as
again.
It could?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to the guy who
Sam,
did that with
really
Thor.
That's a really good point. They're looking for the guy who they're getting the guy that they're like, he turned Thor 3 essentially into Thor 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Where they're like, we had already made our money, and now they're like kind of restarting Thor without restarting him, where they're like, it's refreshed. Now we can do like a fourth Thor movie that feels like a second Thor movie.
I mean, Downey's out. Evans is out. I mean, we don't know for sure, but like Ruffalo's probably out. Johansson's out. Like all the main people are like, we're done with Avengers. That was a blast. Yeah. And then like Hemsworth is like, I mean, with this guy, I'll do more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean,
like,
that's
I feel
such a blast.
I'll keep doing it.
Him and Goldblum. I think, I agree. I think this might be kind of the shift of, like, let's turn Star Wars a little weird again. Let's get into the strangeness. I know we saw that with Last Jedi to a certain degree where it was like we started to embrace the strangeness. Maybe the kind of the mainstream wasn't ready for that. I think it kind of goes back to that thesis of, like, you being a fan of Star Wars as a movie or you being a fan of Star Wars as a universe. And I think Watiti fits in the universal appeal, I think. And I think that's why it's like a very good fit.
I love what all of you are saying. The Rise of Skywalker tells me they're not going to be weird. They're not going to let it be weird. I mean, like, I think Taika will allow to
have
his...
It didn't make enough money. But I think they'll pivot.
I think Mandalorian. I think Mandalorian is a kind of a sign of that as well. I mean, I think Mandalorian has some of this kind of sci-fi channel-esque quality of strangeness in it.
What would you say was the strangest part of it? Because to me, it felt like it was very much like strange in a palatable, broad way.
I don't know specifics at this moment. Like the episode when they're I forget her name. What's the character's name?
Kara.
Gina Carano? The Gina Carano character?
Kara.
Yeah.
Dune. Yeah.
So like that episode, I think that had that kind of sci-fi, like I imagine as an audience member for like a mainstream audience watching it, they'd probably be like, this is getting a little too out there for me. Like this is like they're on a new planet. You know what I mean? Like it had these kind of elements of this is an episode of Xena Warrior Princess.
Oh,
like
yeah,
this is
that's fair.
This is kind of like the disconnection or Conan the Barbarian. Was it the New Adventures of Conan? Was that with Kevin Sorbo?
Yeah,
like it had
Hercules.
New Adventures of Superman.
I guess I
wasn't quoting the Nutty Professor there.
Hercules. Oh. But that's the idea though, is that I think they're gonna have to tone it down a little bit. The fact that they're putting a lot of their eggs in the kind of the comic book realm as well, like that's as it's not as a mainstream medium, except other than our Marvel heroes, I think that's not as mainstream a medium to tell these stories. So I think they might be a little more low key with kind of the mainstream pop culture aspects of Star Wars.
I just
also, this is worth noting that with the three Star Wars properties that we know are coming up, which is the Obi-Wan series, the Leslie Headland series, and the Taika movie, those are basically all that's on the docket for
Cassian
right now.
Andor.
Cassian Andor. Mm-hmm. I forgot. And who's leading that?
Isn't it Tony?
Is that
Gilroy?
Tony Gilroy? Okay.
Friggin'
so
Tony Gilroy.
Let's say three. So I'll say for the
can't
four
wait
things,
to hear him on Koppelman's podcast talking about how he broke that story.
So for the four Star Wars properties that we know are coming up in like TV and movies, three out of the four of them are not helmed by white men. Which is like the step that we've been asking, you know, not just us, that like, you know, the world has been asking Lucasfilm to do, which is like, can you please get some diversity behind the camera? Obviously, The Mandalorian was a step. There were people who were not white men who helmed like episodes. But in terms of like creative leads of entire series and movies, this is like the first time they've done that. And it's far too late for them to have done that. But, you know, it's like, we need to move forward, get some diverse voices in there, please. And it's like maybe the hopeful part of me is that maybe that will finally happen. But we'll see, because Lucasfilm has a tendency to replace directors with Ron Howard.
Yeah.
It is crazy to think that we're kind of in like, this is the start of like, if we're going to put it in Marvel terms, like this is phase two. Like we've already gone through phase one. Like the initial plan is done. Like this is now we are in this kind of unknown territory.
Yeah. And I think after Rise of Skywalker, a lot of us, or at least I felt like where I was like, you know, I thought we were in phase two and then I kind of found out we were still in phase one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I thought that we were in phase one and a half, I should say.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, this is going to be the handoff. And then episode nine was like, no, give it back. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this is, like, a clean break. Like, with the Thor movies, where it's like, the fourth Thor movie will be this clean break from the Marvel. Like, it'll move forward.
They're just going to give Luke an eye patch.
My God.
I've lost so much faith in Disney and Lucasfilm after The Rise of Skywalker. I just can't believe they released that film, that they made that film. And to me, that makes me just be like, what what could possibly be next? What are they going to do?
Right.
I'm more excited that they're just maybe getting back to, and this is obviously with the history, maybe not accurate, but letting someone who has a unique creative voice go out and make something. They didn't do that with a lot of the things they've done in the past 5 years. But I think now that they're past the Skywalker saga, they can be a little bit less precious with things and let somebody do their own thing, because they know that they don't have a future here unless they start to allow stories to go beyond what we know. So you have a little bit more freedom. And as you said, Sam, the other thing is the comfort level. there's irreverence, there's a little bit of riskiness. He doesn't give a shit in a lot of ways in Taika. However, he has hit timelines, he's hit deadlines, he shot things the way they wanted with Thor and The Mandalorian. They know they're working with someone who can make the movie that they, not necessarily they want, but will be able to make it within the schedule that they want, that they know who can, they can count on, who's not going to go in and maybe do things differently like some of the directors that they've worked with, which now we're, I'm feeding into a story that we've been told. We don't know whether or not, you know, if Lord and Miller were actually as difficult as they're perceived to be, or if Gareth was as bad as whatever they're putting out there. But either way, we know that he can get the job done on putting together a quality film. They know that too. So they're making a choice of, here's a new voice that we can count on and know the production will get done. And that's
also have
way.
And what's exciting for an audience is that, like we've been saying, he has this air of mischief about him where there's this piece, like he's now made, you know, he's slated to make three movies. This will be his third movie at Disney. So it's like, for all intents and purposes, he could be seen as a company man. Yeah. But like, also, at the same time, it's like, there seems to be this attitude where you could conceivably see him being like, I could do more damage from the inside than the outside.
I mean,
you also, know, like where it's just like, he's, like people love working with him.
Like people, but also like, fans love him.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's not the, there's not the Rian Johnson baggage. There's not the J.J. Abrams baggage. Yeah. There's not like the stuff you get with certain people where it's like fans are like, oh, I hate that guy. Like everybody,
well, he's just,
like everybody loves Taika Waititi.
He ruined Thor.
He's just a
that's not my Thor.
He's just a genuinely like funny person. He, I mean, he used to be, he used to do stand up, I guess. Like he knows the business from many perspectives. And I think as far as like a technical level, like talk about getting somebody that has like experience. I mean, he made Thor. That's no small technical feat, that movie. Like, that's a very complicated movie. And then even Jojo Rabbit and What We Do with the Shadows, to a certain degree, it's like those movies are very technically like able. And I think that like getting a director like that for Star Wars is, it's like a double threat, that he, he's a good storyteller and he also understands these movies on a technical level that like they didn't, I think Star Wars didn't really have a director of that degree.
Yeah. I will say one thing, though, and I hate to be pessimistic. I do think the hate will find him, as in he's going to make a smart film, likely with some progressive ideas, and so the hate will find him. And
that, I mean, look at how much people freaked out about, like, there were people who were furious about the opening of that Mandalorian episode. Like, I had my criticisms, but there were people who were, like, so mad about it. So it's like, it's inevitable, but whatever.
It sounded like old Chief got on our call. The hate will find you.
No, that's what I was thinking.
I know, I hear you.
I wish I could do the voice.
I also really hope that he's in it, because he's often the best parts of his.
Yes.
Well, if anybody's followed our Twitter account, you know, it's a story of Palpatines and Skywalkers. There's only one Palpatine on the post.
I'm with Sam, though. I want to see a Rhys Darby get in there and just obliterate a situation with just misunderstanding what's going on and asking questions. I think that's the funniest thing Rhys Darby can do.
Do you think he'll be in like buffoonery, a cantina owner or something?
Buffoonery.
Oh no, he'll have some hunk of junk ship that he's gonna transport everybody across the galaxy.
He says it's great. Yeah. Oh, what if it's in the future and his hunk of junk ship is the Falcon?
I just hope that with the exciting creators that they have lined up at Lucasfilm, because they have a history of hiring exciting creators and then balking.
Just
stick with it. And maybe after The Rise of Skywalker, maybe they got an era if they're like, we can't do anything right, we might as well do something interesting.
Yep.
And like, that might be the best place for us to be, you know, because like maybe they'll just be like, I don't know, I can't predict this stuff, just make your movie.
Yeah.
We haven't talked about Leslie Headland. We actually talked about Leslie Headland in a previous episode where we talked a little bit more about what we thought of Russian Doll. We heard a quote from her, and a little bit we learned, you know, she is the real deal in terms of being someone who falls in the camp of loving Star Wars, not just Star Wars the movie. And Ryan, you pointed this out to us, that she's shown her dedication.
Yeah, she got a tattoo of Leia on her hand, but it's not just Leia, it's Ralph McQuarrie's original concept art for Leia. She posted it on Instagram and said that she's been wanting to get it for years. So it's like, you know, if people need proof that someone's a real deal Star Wars fan, I mean, that's it. I don't think that someone needs to prove that, but it's a beautiful piece too. It's like amazing.
The proof isn't necessary. I said, you know, she's shown her dedication. Obviously we don't require any future directors
show
their
we're not like gatekeepers.
And
it could be interesting if someone who isn't a Star Wars fan makes a Star Wars movie, unless they're Tony Gilroy, in which case they're really obnoxious about it.
And I got on my hand, I got a Ralph Macchio designed Millennium Falcon on my hand. It doesn't look right, but he drew it, so.
You went out to Long Island, you met with Macchio, huh?
Yeah, he was out there. I had some moves to learn, so.
Well, I'm very excited. I guess right now I'm also just kind of like, when is this going to happen? When do we get real production again? Yeah. When do things start up so we can feel like there are movies on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm wondering when I could go to the coffee shop. It's like, well, I don't know when they're going to make the Star Wars movie.
But the thing is like, there is word for what happened with The Mandalorian. You could do some stuff with lesser crew.
Yeah.
You could do some
volume.
Stuff with a limited, I mean.
Just, look at the volume.
I don't know. I don't want to ask anybody, though. Like, I get what you're saying, Mike, that, like, you know, like, it's in some way feasible, and as fans, we want that. But it's like, I don't know. I'm just so, like, I wouldn't want to be asked to go anywhere right now.
Oh, as, man, you know, I agree, Sam.
Like, by my job. So it's like, I don't, it's as much as I want that, I don't want that.
Sam,
like,
if you
want
to stay on this pod, you will drive and get Ryan a piece of coffee. Go.
They delayed the release of James Bond once. I don't know if it'll be actually coming out in November. They delayed the production of The Batman, which bummed me out. It's like all the Star Wars movies are delayed and TV shows and stuff. So it's like, I get it, but I also, I don't know. I'm just so tired of like figuring out ways we could do it.
Yeah.
You know,
be safe. Yeah, I think
we want everybody to be safe. We'll wait until it's safe, and then once it's safe, where are all the movies?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's if the minute this is all safe for us to go outside, if the movies aren't here, I'll be mad.
Also, I mean, if there's gonna be,
if I don't find out that you were secretly producing things while I was hoping you were being safe, but you were actually out there making movies. Yeah. I'll be upset.
If there's a company, though, to figure out how to kind of crack this technical hurdle of physically not being there, I mean, we're dealing with the best one to figure this out, Lucasfilm.
I mean Lucasfilm has been trying to find ways to make movies without people for years.
I mean, we all laughed at George's just green sets, but now they're looking pretty good, I think. When he's moving people 3 inches to the left in a frame with a computer, everyone's like, why would you ever want to do that? And you're like, well,
and he just went, well, you know, germs are coming. There's going to be germs, and I still want movies, so I got to make germless movies.
In all seriousness, though, if say, you know, there's a vaccine in 6 months, we all can go back to the movie theaters and go, I think it could be a really exciting time for 8 months or so or whatever of releasing all of this back catalog of film and being like, opening this weekend is The Empire Strikes Back, and everybody gets to go and see them on the big screen, and it would become a draw, because there's a lot of other things people would want to go back do, but there'd be enough people who'd want to go see movies again. And I think it would be very exciting to see these things on the big screen that have been capped off the big screen.
100%.
Oh, my God. If they announced that it was only safe to go to the movies if you were going to see Ryan Reynolds' Green Lantern movie this weekend, it would make $2 billion.
Hey, the bigger they are, the faster they burn.
We do not mean to give short conversation to Leslie Headlin. We had a longer conversation about her and Russian Doll in a previous episode. Please go back and find that, because we are very excited about what she's doing.
And her movies, Sleeping with Other People and Bachelorette, are both really great. I mean, they're like, if there are kids here, they're a little more adult, those movies, but they're really, she's a playwright. She's awesome. She's the real deal.
Yeah. And then also worth mentioning, Disney kind of released a lot of information about upcoming directors of The Mandalorian. We got Robert Rodriguez and Peyton Reed of Ant-Man.
Robert
Rodriguez.
Also another green screen director.
Robert Rodriguez
has not made an interesting thing in ever.
Spy Kids?
Is that when you say an interesting movie, is that the one you want to bring up?
What was his Grindhouse one?
They made a lot of them.
Planet Terror, which I enjoy. He makes like some fun movies. I mean, Alita: Battle Angel. Sam and I saw that together. Or wait, was it Sam or Chris? Or were we all there?
What's that?
Alita: Battle Angel. Woof.
I forgot he made that.
What a mess.
I
do think there's something, you know, there is, the only thing I can kind of go back to is like, as a kid, Desperado was so different and fun. you know, which was obviously
I watched it every night for a summer.
It's obviously a remake of his, you know, El Mariachi, but like, to me, I'm like, I could see them wanting him for like that type of an episode of Mando, you know, of like, mm-hmm. hey, can you do like a really like fun kind of like bonkers, like over the top actiony comedy, you know, like Western type thing, you know, because that's what those, you know, and
we know Johnny Depp's gonna be in it.
Oh boy.
Maybe George Clooney will do a cameo on an iPad.
I mean, Trejo's got to be in it, right?
Danny.
That's true. And that Daniel, is awesome.
Antonio Banderas, Trejo, maybe? Yeah.
Trejo should be in it, and he should have been in Star Wars a long time
ago. Here's an interesting thing about Robert Rodriguez. He made a movie called 100 Years secretly with John Malkovich that they made and completed, and it's not to be released until the year 2115.
Well, that's it. There we go.
So they made a movie. It's just called... it's like the movie you'll never see. Yeah, the movie you will never see. It's like that's making insane. Us all face the fact that we'll die. But you know, so in 2115, they could find out that it's really underwhelming and that he's not that great of a director.
that's really a good way to kind of manage that conversation.
Yeah. Man, this Where's must be end? How they made movies back then with with virtually no female characters and just violent, huh?
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Droids. We're excited about the upcoming projects. Well, tune back in. Of course, we're going to be doing some more live watches of classic Star Wars features and maybe make our way through the entire catalog. Maybe we'll decide to watch all of them in one night. We could do that as well. But we have been very happy to get back to a regular Star Wars conversation. Just always such a pleasure to take a step out of our current world and live in the Star Wars universe with all of you fine folks.
Baby Yoda, you want to say goodbye? You want to say goodbye, Baby Yoda? Baby Yoda? Oh, he's being shy. We'll get him next time.
Okay, I'm going to buy one.
Yeah, we got it.
All right.
Yeah. It'll arrive in 7 months. much like a real baby. I mean, yeah, a real baby. It's 7 months, and they're done.
I think it's worth noting that the creepiest part of all of this is that you actually have a 50-year-old doll.
It's true.
It's not really.
I'm just kidding. I know it doesn't take 7 months to make a baby.
Nah.
Who would wait that long?
So all the things that we're saying are incorrect. It's not a baby. It's not Yoda. What they grow?
Annie?
There you go. Okay.
There's much.
And the gestational period of a human baby is not 7 months.
Well, I mean, in some cases.
There we go.
Yeah, it could be, but it's not what you're shooting for.
No,
you're shooting for four or five.
We ended a while ago. We ended a while ago.
The show. Well, I mean, if we're going by that measure, the show ended years ago.